This morning, I call your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In our trip last week, I went through a great deal in preparing our people, that those who are on the mission team, to go. And I told them, you know, man, be ready. You drink a lot of water. It's going to be hot. We're going to be working a lot. That sun's going to beat down on us. You know, we got to Gallup, New Mexico, and I think the high last week was 85. And they would talk to the people back home, and they would say, it's 96 here and a heat index of 105. And I thought, hey, this mission trip thing's not too bad. But it was a good week. And I want to say thank you to all of those on the mission team. They were outstanding to work with. They did a super job. And as Brother Greg shared, next Sunday night, we're going to give everybody that was on the mission team an opportunity to share with you the things that they gleaned from the mission trip. It was just a wonderful blessing. But right now, let's look to God's Word and allow God's Word to speak to us, okay? Would you stand with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth and says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. What I want you to know about Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we are so blessed to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made upon Calvary for our sins. Thank you that Jesus experienced death on our behalf so that we would not have to. Thank you that on the third day He rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because He lives, all those who place their faith and their trust in Him as their Lord and their Savior shall live. Lord, I pray for everyone present here today. You know each life. You know each heart. You know each need. First and foremost, I pray for those who have never committed their lives to You and called upon You for salvation. I pray that today will be that day. I pray for those, Lord, who have grown cold and callous. I pray for those who have grown lukewarm. I pray that You would light a fire among us today, Lord, that we will have a passion for the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What I want you to know about Jesus. I'm just going to jump right into it today. Number one, I want you to know the passion that should be present in every believer. The passion for the spoken message of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed in reading the writings of the Apostle Paul that he never lost his passion for the gospel? Now we read this, it's easy to read this like this, okay? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you were also saved. That's not the way he wrote it. Okay? That's not it. As you read this, you can literally feel the passion of Paul. And you can literally hear the voice of God speaking through Paul as he writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which you stand." You can just feel, you can see the passion with which the Apostle Paul wrote. That's why he wrote in the first part of this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul was so, for lack of a better way to put it, he was so eaten up with the message of the gospel, he wasn't worried about anything else. Do you realize? Oh, listen, I want to know all I can know in the Scripture. Don't you? I mean, I love to dig in the Scripture. I love to be passionate and find those jewels that the only way you can find is to dig and to study. But in doing so, sometimes I've discovered that it's easy for me to lose the passion or the reason that I'm here. Do you realize the reason that I'm here is to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is the one thing that will change our nation. That is the one thing that will change your life. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. We talk about what can we do for our culture. I looked out as we were on the mission trip. You know, I can't go a message without mentioning, you know, our experience last week. But I thought, and it's still on my mind, what can we do for the people of the Navajo Reservation to get that gospel, that life-changing message to them? Because that's what they need. You see, Paul was so passionate. He was passionate enough that everywhere he went, he preached it. Everyone he taught, he passed it down. You know, that was the joy of being a teacher in Jewish culture, was passing what you knew down. Do you realize that's why we're here? It's to pass it down. We're here to instill in those who are behind us and those who are coming up in church behind us the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here because people have spent their lives before laboring. We have the Apostle Paul. He labored to ensure that message of Jesus was passed down. Let me ask you a question. What is the most important thing in your life today of passing along? Do you realize, you know, and a lot of us, we work and we have a job and we build our retirement and try to have something to pass down to our children. Do you realize the most important thing you can pass down to your children is Jesus Christ? Okay? They can live without a huge inheritance, but they can't live without Jesus. I mean, literally. Oh, let us pass it down. Let us have this passion that the Apostle Paul had. Most people don't realize it is so very simple. It is a very simple message. As a matter of fact, many Christians live in fear that they will be backed in a corner and they will have to witness and declare the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they're scared to death. They're afraid they'll say something wrong. Brother Doug, I just don't know what to say. Well, let me help you. The worst and the most wrong thing you can say is to say nothing. Make sense? Okay? That is the worst and the most wrong thing you can do is to do nothing. Here's the reality. Paul declared the message, and it was very simple. He did not go into some deep theological study where you've got to know Greek and Hebrew. He said, look, here's what we are. Number one, Christ died for our sins. You want to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Tell them about the Jesus that died because you're a sinner. We all have a sin problem. You know? I mean, we look at churches today and we come in our Sunday best and we wear our suits and our ties and our Sunday clothes and all that's good and fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're all in the same boat. We have a sin problem. And Christ died because you have a sin problem. Okay? That's the first step of the message. Christ died because you have a sin problem. Christ was buried for me. Now I want you to imagine, and you've got to get it on this level, not just that Jesus was crucified and that He was buried, but He was crucified for me. He was buried for me. Can you imagine? The apostles, as they watched their teacher, their master, that they had followed for 3 years, they watched Him die upon a cross called Calvary. And once they heard Him cry out, "It is finished, paid in full," they watched Him take His last breath, and they saw as His body was removed from that cross, taken and placed in that tomb. I want you to know, there is a move today, and I just look, I think, as I read articles of such, but there is some who say, "Well, Jesus wasn't really dead." Oh, yes, He was. Okay? He wasn't unconscious. He was graveyard dead, as we used to say back in my day. And He died and was buried for me. Then the third thing you need to know is that Christ rose on the third day. You see, that's the good news. Oh, it's wonderful that He paid for my sin. It's wonderful that He was buried in my place. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He was the first fruits, which means I'm coming after Him. You know, I'm going to live forever. You want to tell somebody, you want to become a soul winner? Here's three things you need to know. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And that's enough. "Oh, Brother Doug, that's not deep enough." Oh, yes, it's plenty deep. The wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it's shallow enough that even a kid can understand it. And it's deep enough that a scholar cannot get all of it. You know? Here's my question at this point. Are you truly saved? Are you saved? Have you taken this message to yourself? Is what you have real? Paul kind of he kind of makes you back up and listen there in verse 2. He said, "By which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you." If you hold fast. You know what he's talking about there? He's not suggesting that you can lose your salvation. He's saying you got to receive the message. Okay? Now, you may be here today and you've heard this: Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, until you're blue in the face. But you've never taken that message to yourself. That's Paul's challenge. You see, in verse 2, he ends that, "Unless you believe in vain." Do you realize you can acknowledge Jesus and that doesn't mean you're saved? The devils also believe. The demons of hell believe that there is a Jesus, and they know He is the Son of God. But you got to make it personal, is what Paul is suggesting there. You receive that message of salvation to yourself, where Jesus died for my sin. When you look around and you consider the death of Jesus, you know what we do? We look around at other people and we say, "Oh, they need that message of salvation." What about you personally? You see, that's the difference between salvation and acknowledgement, is when that message of Jesus is received personally, because you know that you are a sinner and you have no way of salvation except through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who find it. And narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." Do you know why Jesus said that? I mean, we we stop and we look and we have this message, Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ rose on the third day. Seems very simple. But the hard part about that is so simple that we can't come to grips with it. You know? Oh, Brother Doug, surely I've got to do something. I want to tell you what, you can go to church all you want to, and that'll never save you. You can walk down the aisle every Sunday, and that'll never get you to heaven. You can be baptized every Sunday, and that'll not wash your sins away. You can do the religious thing, but until it passes religion and becomes personal, you don't have it. Okay? You don't have it. And that's the problem with... That's the thing that scares me with the world today. Oh, I want you to know, it's so simple. You can't earn it and you certainly don't deserve it. All you can do is receive it. Then we move on. Not only do I want you to know the passion of the story of the cross, I want you to know the proof of the story of the cross. It's got to be real to you. You realize, of course, there were eyewitness accounts confirmed. Paul said, this isn't just my message. This message of the resurrected Christ has been confirmed by the apostles. Do you realize Peter saw Jesus after he was crucified alive? Okay? Peter saw him. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus. All the apostles saw Jesus except Judas. He killed himself and then he saw Jesus. After that, right? I want you to realize today that the story of Jesus is not a fairy tale. It is just as real as it has ever been, as if it happened yesterday. Peter, James, John, Thomas was told. You remember what Thomas said, of course. I'll not believe until I thrust my hand into the wounds of his hand and thrust my hand into the wound of his side. You know what Jesus told Thomas after his resurrection? Here I am, Thomas. Stick that finger in the wound. Thrust your hand in my... I want you to realize, okay, today, that the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago when it happened. Okay? I mean, we get this idea, and we've heard it so much that we've become callous to it. But just because it happened 2,000 years ago does not make it any less real. And it's just as life-changing today as it was back then. No, it's been confirmed by eyewitness account of the apostles. It's been confirmed by 500 people at one time. 500 people at one time saw Jesus. Now you may be here today and you think, oh yeah, you know, right, I never did believe that. Well, why not? Why not? How many witnesses? Let me ask you a question. If somebody walked in here today, walked down this aisle, took me by the collar, and just gave me a good thrashing, and then walked out, how many witnesses would it take to convict that man? Yeah. Would you believe if everybody here... We don't have 500 here. Maybe 300 today. Guess. I don't know. Somewhere a little bit over. But everybody sitting here watching it. And the police would come in. And they would say, everybody needs to stay here so that we can get your... eyewitness account. And then they'd go through each of you and tell me what you saw. Well, I watched this guy just beat our preacher up. Then they'd go to the next person. What did you see? I watched this guy beat our preacher up. Same story through everybody, which I hope nobody comes and beats me up, by the way. That's not the point of this. The point of this is how many people would have to tell you that is what happened before you'd believe it. One, two, three. What about if 100 people in here told you that's what happened? Would you believe it? All 300 were to say, I saw it. Yes, would you believe it? 500 people at one time saw the resurrected Jesus Christ who was crucified, buried, and they saw Him alive and well come out of that grave. Why would you not believe that? Apostles were eyewitnesses. 500 were eyewitnesses. And the Apostle Paul says, not only that, but I've seen Him. And you understand, Paul was converted after Jesus had ascended into heaven. Paul saw Jesus after He had ascended into heaven on the road to Damascus. You see, Paul, he had been persecuting the church. His life was about persecuting this movement, this Jesus movement. But I want to tell you what happened. He was witness to old Stephen, the preaching deacon, as Stephen was stoned. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he held the coats of those who cast the stones. And he saw that. And you know what he saw? He saw Stephen say, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father before He died. And I'll tell you something, there are some things you cannot get off your mind. Have you ever had that? There's some things you can see that you can't unsee. That haunted old Paul. He couldn't get it out of his mind. He saw it and lived with it every day until that day on the road to Damascus. And old Paul, on the road to Damascus, was struck with blindness. He saw a great light. And as he saw this light, he talked to Jesus. And Jesus said, Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. And you know, what he's talking about there is an ox goad. If you've ever done any cattle ranching, you know, you've had a stick and you'd poke that cow to get him to go up that chute. And you know what they'll do? Oh, cow, kick at that goat, you know, and they kick at that stick. Well, that's what Paul heard from Jesus. Paul, it's hard to kick against the goats. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever kicked against the goats? You ever been under conviction knowing that God had gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for your sin? And you've said in that invitation week after week, and you've heard the story week after week, and it comes invitation time, and you just, it's all you can do to hold on to that pew. It's like kicking against the goats. That's what Paul had experienced. But I want you to know, Paul had seen Jesus firsthand. And that road to Damascus experience changed him forever. He was confirmed by Paul. And you know what? I believe all their witnesses. This is what you've got to decide today. Do I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do I believe that He died for the sin of mankind? Do I believe the Bible when the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved? You see, you've got to take hold of that message. You've got to take it to yourself. Otherwise, you're in trouble. But if you will accept that message that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, it produces an end product. As a matter of fact, it changes you. Have you been changed? Transformed by the message of the cross? See, Paul, he then leaves after the eyewitness testimony. He then begins to talk about his past life. He said, he was seen by me. I'm the least, and I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. That was Paul's past life. Let me ask you, do you have a past? How many people have a past? Would you raise your hand? If you're here, you've got a past. And I would go out on a limb and I would venture to say, in that past, you had a sin problem. You've got to get that problem taken care of. Okay? You've got to get that sin problem taken care of. You know, there are people here today in dealing with their past. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. Oh, Brother Doug, I was immoral. I was ungodly. Oh, Brother Doug, I shamed my parents. Oh, Brother Doug, I did. The good news is, the that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. All right? I want you to know today that you're not too bad to be saved. All right? And don't go down that road. Don't accept that lie from Satan. Oh, I can't be saved. I've been too bad. That's a lie. All right? That's a lie. What you do is you give your past to Jesus. All right? And let Him... See, He died for your sins so that you could have forgiveness of your past. Oh, but the good news is the present. You see, Paul said, and I love the way, and you can feel the passion. He said in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now I want to ask you, number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, you need to take care of that today. Why would you walk out of here lost knowing the simplicity of the gospel and the reality of what Jesus has done for you? Don't walk out here lost. But number two, if you're a child of God, do you have purpose? Okay? And Paul said, when he said, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Here's the thing. You realize this message, this gospel message, is not something we're supposed to keep to ourselves. Okay? This gospel message is something we're supposed to share with the world everywhere we go. All right? As I shared with you, we were on a mission trip last week. Had a wonderful time. Brother Ken would be glad to know we spread the gospel tracts from here to New Mexico and back, brother. But all of us are missionaries right where we are. Okay? You have a mission. I have a mission. And that mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ right here in Russellville, where God has planted us. You see, I want you to understand, God has not called us all to be foreign missionaries, but He's called us all to be local missionaries. Okay? When Paul said in verse 10, he said, But the grace of God toward me was not in vain. He's talking about after he was saved, God had given him the grace and called him into the ministry. And he said, that grace was not wasted on me. Why? Because, beloved, he preached the gospel wherever he went. That's what he's saying. Do not waste the grace of God. Every day that you and I have is a gift. And it's a gift in the form of an opportunity to serve, to bless others with our service. But most of all, it's an opportunity to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. I am firmly convinced the only hope that this world has, our nation, our city, the only hope we have is Jesus Christ. And if we want to make a difference, we're going to have to get that message out. As children of God, let us be faithful and not waste the grace of God. If you're here today and you do not have the assurance of salvation, listen, you need to get that taken care of. Because just as real as Jesus' death on the cross and His burial and His resurrection is the other side. The side of darkness, death, hell, and the grave, and eternal separation from God for those who reject the message. Now, you choose. We're going to have a verse of invitation. And I'm going to ask you, if you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to come. And let me show you in the Scripture, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you know somebody that's lost. You know what you need to do? We need to learn how to get on our knees again. The altar's for you. Come pray for those individuals. Maybe you're here today and it's time for rededication. Time to renew the passion, renew the fire. I'd ask you to come. Whatever your spiritual condition and your spiritual need is today, I just challenge you. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the reminder that we have to be passionate. Passionate about the gospel. Help us, Lord, to share the gospel every day with the people that we come in contact with. Lord, help us to faithfully not waste the grace that had been given to us, but that we'll faithfully serve you each day. Father, as we come to this invitation, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.